And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking with Martha Ramirez today. She is the director of SHRM in the Western region and their member services. She's going to be talking about trends in the western half of the country, why SHRM matters today, and that the volunteer family of SHRM is still important and why. Way out there in Chicago today, Martha.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
I know your counterpart out here, Susan Post, and she's been a guest on the show here. And she said, I had to talk to you because you know everything there is to know about SHRM in the western region of the country.
Well, we'll see.
Well, that's what she told me, but no expectations at all here. None whatsoever.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about, first of all, can you give me a little bit about your background and how you got to SHRM and what brought you there?
Absolutely. Well, I had been working in HR for a couple of companies for about 11 years. One was in banking right before, and so I did a lot of recruiting and training for them. And before that, I had a long career with a printing company here in Chicago and spent, you know, the last part of my career with them in HR. So I was one of those people that kind of accidentally came into HR through a request to do some training. And the training was diversity training, which was very interesting. And, you know, that developed into all sorts of other training and development opportunities. And eventually, I think when I left there, I was the diversity manager for the company. And, you know, had broadened my horizons in many areas of HR. So after those two experiences, I decided to apply for a position with the pinnacle employer of HR, and that would be SHRM. So that would happen in 2006, and I've been 7 years now with SHRM.
No, that's fantastic. And So you cover the entire western half of the country, right?
I do, yeah. And the west is not what maybe you would think is the west, you know, geographically, because we divided up the country into two. And if you can think of Ohio as being west, it's kind of a crooked line, you know, starting with Ohio, and then Texas is part of the eastern region, so... It kind of all equals out when you think about the numbers and the number of chapters and members. So we kind of had a delineation of the territories. But most of the West is the region I cover.
No, that's great. So tell me, what are some of the trends you're seeing for 2013, first half of the year? You know, we're pretty much over the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me some of the things you're seeing that are maybe hot button issues, hot things that are out there that SHRM's dealing with that you're seeing on the western half of the country.
Okay. Well, we have the one that comes to mind right now because just recently did two presentations and talked about this is the skills gap and the fact that we have a huge number of people that are unemployed in this country, you know, more in some states than others. However, they don't have the right skills. The people that are unemployed and the number of jobs that are opening are not matching up. And so we have this huge problem of it's not so much an unemployment problem, but a skills gap problem of needing the right people in the jobs. And so we need to start, you know, somewhere to either retrain or train our youth to, you know, take on these jobs, especially the STEM jobs, you know, the science and math and engineering jobs. And this is especially close in my region because I also recently traveled to North Dakota, which is a really unique place because they have an oil boom going on right now.
They sure do, shale oil boom.
And they have, I don't know, one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country because they just can't get enough people. And so it kind of reminds me of the gold rush that happened, you know, I think in the 1800s in California. People are
not because you not because you remember it, but because you read about it, right? Okay, just making sure. Yes, that's right.
But you know, they have an abundance of people coming to North Dakota to you know, because they've heard the same thing, but they're not the right people. You know, they're looking for engineers and specifically petroleum engineers and people that are you know, skilled in this field. And you have, you know, families that are camping out in parks because there's no housing for them, and the schools are overflowing, and it just creates this dynamic. And even they can't even find skilled labor to, for example, open a McDonald's. You know, so they have unique challenges in that they close stores early because they don't have the staff to manage it. So it's a very unique people. They have a lot of bodies over there, but they're just not the right ones.
It is a real dilemma, isn't it? That,
yeah.
You know, we've talked about this on the show with a number of guests, and there is this long-term solution, right? Retrain, redevelop, mm-hmm. You know, make sure the education system is correct, and we could have a six-hour show on the education system. But, we, you know, exactly. To make sure that we're teaching our kids correctly, getting them in the right direction, make sure that they're focused on the right jobs of tomorrow. But for right now, today, this year, what do we do?
I think we have to, you know, really search high and low and have unique ways that we can attract the people that we're looking for and need in our industries. You know, we talk about work flexibility. You know, how are you attracting? So you have this petroleum engineer that you need, you know. And besides money, you know, what can you offer to get that talent that you need? You know, there's workplace flexibility, there's benefits, compensation obviously is part of the package. But, you know, what is the future? What is the vision for that employee? It's, you know, folks are being very selective, too, these days. So it's about what's the whole package of what you can offer that skilled labor so that you can not only attract them but retain them down the road.
I think
so you have to think big picture. You have to think long term, big picture. It's not just about, okay, we're going to teach you this. It's really a more strategic approach.
No, I think you're right, and I think that is the challenge because it is a long term. It's a short term fix for a long term problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as we all know, compensation is a big piece of it. But in every survey, and I know you know this as well as I do, it is not the number one thing. It is just not the number one thing. It's like number 8 or 9 in the last survey I saw.
Exactly. I think WorkFlex is becoming a very high on the list benefit that people are, you know, that not just young people, because I think that becomes a, and not just parents. You know, it's everybody's looking for some relief with their work. And I love the way we phrase it. It's how we, you know, when work works. When we work, how we work, where we work. That needs to be looked at if you want to keep retaining and attracting the right talent.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, we talked a little bit off the air before the show that California, and I kiddingly mm-hmm. say this all the time, whatever.
That is definitely west.
You know, that is west.
Yes.
But you do certainly have that area. And a lot of trends come out of California, and they have a lot of rules and regulations, and certainly have seen a lot of things happening out there. I think you report of what's going on out there in the real west part of the coast. Just give us a flavor for it, if you can.
Well, we're probably in our second or third year of developing a California strategy in conjunction with the state council out in California, the Sherm State Council. And we've done some things, you know, in our strategy already. We recently had, I think, our second annual California Legislative Conference, where the focus was just on California law. And I think it was very successful. And that was an event, but, you know, a lot of work goes into those kind of events. But we're looking broader than that. We're really trying to provide the tools and resources that California HR professionals need to be successful, because their laws and their policies are so unique to the rest of the country. And there's other states, too. I live in Illinois, and I've heard Illinois is probably the second most, unique market legislatively, but so we're trying to address that need, and we have, for example, a California newsletter. We have California salary surveys going on. We're trying to, you know, build, and we've accomplished some things, as I said before, to really help that audience. It's a very large state, and there's even dynamics between the northern and the southern part of the state. So it's a really interesting place, and we're really just trying to address all the needs out there, and it's a long-term strategy, so we're working it.
You know, I was talking to a consultant out there, and David Bowman, he owns TG Consulting in HR and outplacement and coaching and everything out in there, and he mentioned that there's this onslaught of, because of things happening there, a lot of companies moving out of California and going to either Texas or Arizona, and there's certainly a boom in Texas in terms mm-hmm. of the number of employees. Is Sherm looking at that in any way and saying how they can help in terms of making sure the right talent stays or helps companies in those areas?
I think we're We're enabling the HR professional to do that. You know, so we're not getting involved with specific companies or industries. You know, some of that probably in some of the toolkits that we have, but we're really trying to educate and enable and provide the right research so that our HR professionals can, you know, be armed, so to speak, to do the job they need to do in their companies.
No, I think that's right. I mean, you guys provide an incredible amount of training and development materials online, through the programs that you provide, through the, you know, the big conference you're going to be having here.
Yeah, and that's coming to my hometown.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's awesome. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, I think that's part of where I see SHRM does a lot of legislative things, I know, as well. And
yes.
You know, this is an area that I see that they do shape policy in the HR world. They do. And they help shape policy, I should say.
Exactly.
And so, you know, to that aspect, are you seeing anything that's a hot button issue other than maybe healthcare, which of course we all know is certainly a hot button issue mm-hmm. right now? Anything like that that you could speak about that you're seeing on the West Coast?
Yeah, I can speak at a high level about some of the other initiatives that we
sure.
have in progress right now. One is the standards, which is pretty exciting, the HR standards. Lee Webster at SHRM is leading that, and we have been, I don't know if the word is approved or certified, but we are the approved provider, maybe is the term, and I don't want to misspeak it because, again, I'm not an expert in this area, but to create some standards with the ANSI organization, which is, you know, the folks that bring you ISO 100 and
yep.
all that, to provide HR standards, which is kind of unique for us because we're not manufacturing, we're not creating standards around some of those other things you might think of as, you know, needing standards, but there's a need out there to have at least a minimum standard for different functions in HR. So that's a really important initiative. We also have just rolled out about a year ago our HR competency model, which is really different from any other competency model I've seen, because not only does it have 9 competencies and goes into them in depth about what they mean and what the descriptors are, but it's by level as well. There's 4 different levels. So there's an entry level, a mid-manager level, a senior manager, and then an executive level. So you can go in, and there's an assessment that is being developed, that was being tested and is being fine-tuned, I should say, right now, so that you can go in and do a self-assessment to see where you are in your career and what you need to do to get to the next level.
No, I think that's great.
Yeah, using the competency model. So I played around with it a little bit, and it's a really cool thing.
No, that's great. Well, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking to Martha Ramirez. Martha, welcome back.
Thank you.
But, you know, we've talked a little bit about SHRM, and we've talked a little bit about some of the things that are happening on the West Coast and some of the trends that are going on in terms of with SHRM. Tell me a little about you personally, maybe one of the projects you're working on, some of the things that, you know, can get people excited about what's happening at more of a local level.
Okay, well, local's a hard thing to define because we, you know, we're so region-driven. So when I talk about my region, which is the North Central region that I cover specifically, you know, other than the west side of the country, you know, it's still 10 states. So I do a lot of travel to my states. I speak I exhibit, you know, have a booth on SHRM and answer any membership questions they might have or certification questions. But I also work, when I travel to these states, I also work very extensively with the volunteers that run the state councils and chapters. And we have quite a few of those. We have about 575 chapters.
Wow.
And obviously one state council for every state. So they're very, I mean, I call them my most engaged members because they, you know, they have, a lot of them are long-term volunteers. They start at a committee level maybe, and they work their way up to a chapter president. And then when they're done with their term, they're on the state council. And, you know, there's even opportunities beyond that. So they are just a powerful and engaged group of people that I work with quite a bit.
Do you find that HR professionals sometimes wonder why they're in SHRM, or do you think that they truly understand the value of all the different levels, you know, the SPHR, the PHR, now the mm-hmm. global PHR. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talk to HR professionals, you really do have some that are, I want to call it the full buy-in, right? They're just,
right.
They love everything about it. And then there are some that are like, they're kind of bought in. I suppose this is with any group, right? Any organization.
Mm-hmm.
How do you try to get or capture the ones that are on the edge, that are trying to really see the value in it, of what that can mm-hmm. be for their organization or for themselves? What do you tell them?
I try to explain it in a what's in it for you kind of way. I think everybody's so stretched for time these days. And even those that are in transition, you know, they're focused on trying to find a job. So even though they're not in a job, their focus is in trying to get that next job. The people that are working are doing twice as much. You know, staff is being cut. So it's a harder sell to try to get people to come into the volunteer family. But, you know, when I approach it as a value proposition, it seems to click. And that's really, you're giving back to the profession, number one. But you're also gaining a whole lot of skills when you lead in a volunteer role. You can, you know, obviously your leadership skills, your strategic skills, because, you know, we expect our chapters and our state councils to have strategic planning, succession planning, just like they do for their organization. So even if you're not in that role in your job, you can be, you know, a president of a chapter and be responsible for strategic planning and succession planning and holding people accountable and recruiting. And, you know, so it really helps develop a whole lot of skills for folks. Then it doesn't feel like, you know, like a duty as opposed to a, hey, I'm, and, you know, and the other point I make is you meet a lot of great people. There's great networking. There's great friendships to be made when you're involved in a group like that. And people that are in, you know, like what you're calling them, you know, they're total buy-in, you know, they're my evangelist. You know, they just talk about how great the experience has been to be in a volunteer role. And so, like, at annual conference, which is in Chicago, if I haven't mentioned that already, we're gonna have a lounge just for our volunteer leaders to come in and network and relax. And, you know, so it's a little perk that we give back to them. In November, we do a leadership conference for our volunteers. We bring them into D.C. We have all kinds of professional development for them to learn more about not only their volunteer role, but HR, and hear some motivational speakers. So we also give back to our volunteers, and you know, we really hope people think about volunteering and giving back to their profession, but, you know, more importantly, doing it for themselves.
Well, that is, at the end of the day, what companies think mm-hmm. about, you know, what is the benefit
right.
for me as a CFO, CEO, to send my person, or maybe pay for, you know, ultimately, maybe have them spend the time to go to the chapter meeting every month, have them spend the time to volunteer and do work for what is the benefit to us as an organization. I think you're right. It is about being able to network with other professionals and share experiences. That's what I certainly see, is that is an invaluable method of providing information to an organization, a company that you can't buy.
Exactly.
So what would you say for someone who's going after their SPHR or their global HR, or maybe even their PHR, what would you say is, does it matter what level they get? Does it really matter? Or what is it that they should be thinking about for those levels? Because I do get asked that question sometimes.
Yeah, and I do too. And I went through the PHR, and then 4 years later took the SPHR. You know, so I struggled with that question as well. But it's not a progression, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. It's not like you get your PHR and then you get your senior. It's whatever you're doing. You know, so if you're more operational in your job, if you're, you know, doing a lot of the you know, what's another word for operational? You know, you're doing the task and the duties that is required of an HR professional. So some of that is dictated by the rules, the guidelines. You know, you have to have so much education, so much HR experience, and you can only qualify for the PHR. And then if you have more, you can qualify for the SPHR. And then if you have global experience, you can obviously qualify for the global. So some of that is dictated for you. But if you qualify for any of them, it just depends on what you're doing. You know, so if you're doing strategic work, go for the SPHR. It's more strategic in nature. It's at a higher level in terms of the kind of decisions that you make. But it's not a progression, so to speak. I know a lot of people approach it that way. I know I did. And the handbook that's out there that you can order and have mailed to you, or you can read it online on the HRCA website, is very helpful because it walks you through that question. You know, which one is the best certification for me? And there's some little mini quizzes and stuff that you can take to help make that decision for you. But, yeah, some of it is dictated based on what level of experience and education you have.
No, that's great. Well, Martha, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. You've provided a great overview, and I really appreciate your time. If they want to reach you, where should they go?
My email address is Martha, M-A-R-T-H-A, dot Ramirez, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z, at shrm.org. And happy to answer any questions anybody might have of me. You want to come to Chicago and want to know a great place to eat, you know, email me and I'll give you some suggestions.
Oh, there's some fantastic places in Chicago to eat.
Hope to see you all there.
No, it's great. I love Chicago. And also after this show, of course, the HR Power Hour website will have your information and a click on directly to you. So we'll make sure that is set up. Again, thank you, Martha, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Great conversation.